Good morning.
Good morning.
That was well done. That was well done. The Lord be with you.
Oh,
that's good. God is good. All the time. Very good. I don't know anymore. Anybody else? Good call and response. He is risen. Oh, why don't we do that more than just one Sunday a year? Thank you. Rub-a-dub-dub. I didn't even catch that. That's all right. We're going to work. Good morning. Hey, in case you forgot, or in case you're new here, whether you're watching online or in person, my name is James. I'm the senior pastor here. It's good to have you with us to worship. Tim, thank you. Worship team, I don't know if you guys heard, but just like kind of stealth-like in the background in one of those songs, there was the electric guitar. That was pretty sweet. I won't point you out. That was really cool. Hey, if you don't know, my son plays football. If you don't know, it's probably because you haven't talked to me in the last 10 weeks because I've been watching him play football. My wife got to watch him all 10 weeks in person. I got to watch the last 7 in person. Starting quarterback as a true freshman. Everybody say wow. Yeah, that makes this dad really, really proud. All right, the season didn't start off too good. They were 0-5 in their first 5 games. That means how many games did they win? Oh. Whoa. Okay, so it's kind of rough. It was almost like this college team didn't know how to do the basics. Right? Because on offense, they weren't blocking. The running backs weren't running. The receivers weren't catching. And that meant they weren't scoring, which meant they weren't winning. If there was, it's probably more complicated than this like average dad in the stands could make it tell, but it looked like all the players and all the coaches were trying to figure out this very complicated offense, this elaborate top-tier offense, when really all they needed to do was return to the basics. The big fellas in the front needed to block so that the running backs could run. The big fellas in the front needed to block so that the quarterback had time to throw so the receivers could catch and so that we could score. On defense, we just had to tackle so that the other team couldn't block and run and score. We try. If this is completely overhead, it's a sports analogy. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, okay? Something flipped about game 6 in the season, and they went on a 4-game winning streak to finish the season 4-6. You know what? Some people are going to look at that and say, that's a losing record. I'm going to look at that and say they started doing what they needed to do. They forgot all of that yesterday at the game. It kind of felt like game 1 again. But they returned to the basics in that 4-game stretch. They blocked, they ran, they caught, they tackled, all of that. Now, it might be because I'm in, like, football mode, football dad mode, but as I read Zechariah this last week, I couldn't help but think that God was just saying to them, hey, you guys ought to return to the basics. You ought to return to the basics. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn to Zechariah and see what God's word has to say to us today. Lord God, again, we thank you for this chance to be in your presence. We thank you for a chance to not just listen to your story, but to be part of it. May we be reminded that you continue to write your story even today. Help us hear the echoes from Zechariah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got a Bible, turn or tap with me to the Old Testament minor prophet Zechariah. If you're not sure where that is, flip to Matthew, first book in the New Testament, and then go backwards a couple of books. You'll find Zechariah. I want to thank all the voices that you guys have had a chance to hear during this sermon series. There's been some good voices that have come in and shared. We got to hear Pastor Manny from Timberview. We got to hear our own Nathan Zemke, who's not sitting with you. Nathan, if you're watching online, you crushed it. I know I exchanged texts with you after. We got to hear Pastor Trevor. We got to hear Pastor Jason last week. Jason, I really appreciated how you put the timeline up there so we could figure out who was talking when and where and what. It actually helped me realize that Zechariah was speaking the same time that your guy last week, Haggai, was speaking. Okay, so if you didn't know that, Haggai and Zechariah were preaching about the same time frame, and this was roughly 20 years after they had returned from their 70-year Babylonian exile. We tracking? So they had been taken exile to Babylonia 70 years. God brought them back. He gave them this marvelous promise, actually, about 100 years before in Zephaniah. And in Zephaniah, the book finished like this. It said, "On that day, God said, I will gather you together and bring you home again." This is about 100 years prior. "I will give you a good name and a name of distinction among all the nations, and I will restore your fortunes before your very eyes. I, the Lord, have spoken." So here we are, 20 years after they have returned to Jerusalem, and the Israelites look around, and it's not near as grand as they thought it was going to be. It's not near as big and beautiful as they thought it was going to be. The temple was actually kind of tiny compared to what it was before. There was no wine or oil or milk or honey that were flowing through the land, and the Israelites themselves were divided, distracted, and discouraged. So what did God say to them 20 years back from their exile through the prophet Zechariah? He said, "Hey, you got to return to the basics. You've got to return to the basics." We see this right out of the gate in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. It says, "In November of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave this message to Zechariah, son of Berechiah and grandson of Iddo. I, the Lord, was very angry with your ancestors." Everybody say, duh. "I, the Lord, was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, say to the people, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Don't be like your ancestors who would not listen or pay attention when the earlier prophets said to them, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, turn from your evil ways and stop all your evil practices. Because where are your ancestors now? They and the prophets are both long dead. But everything I said through my servants, the prophets, happened to your ancestors just as I said. So as a result, they repented and said, we have received what we have deserved from the Lord of Heaven's armies. He has done what he said he would do. Your ancestors didn't listen, so here's what I want you to do. Return to me." That's the basics. Return to me, and I will return to you. Essentially, he said, you guys are doing all the same thing your ancestor did a long time ago, and I'm not going to put up with it anymore, so if you want me not to do what I did to them, return to me. Return to the basics. Now, you may be wondering, what are those basics? That's a good question. Somebody say, what are those basics? So somebody say, how many times is James going to make us repeat things? Don't say that. Don't say that. What are those basics? If you keep reading from Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7 through basically chapter 6, you're not going to really figure out what any of those basics are because you're just going to get confused. Or maybe you're a lot smarter than I am, but I just got confused as I read them, okay? You're going to get confused, befuddled, puzzled, perplexed, stumped, bewildered, flummoxed, and every other word that Microsoft Word says when you type in confused synonym, right? You're going to get all those if you try and read those because it's eight visions, it's eight dreams or so that God sends to Zechariah about exile and about rebuilding Jerusalem, and we could easily spend 8 weeks looking at just those, but we're not gonna because they're confusing. And today we just want to hear, what was the major message to the Israelites and to us through the prophet Zechariah? And I think the major message was, return to the basics. Return to the basics. Now, for the Israelite people, this meant returning to the covenant that God had made with them originally. All right, and that original covenant happened with Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Didn't even tell him where he's going. "Go to the land where I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." That's how it started. That was the original covenant. Come be my people, I'm going to be your God, and we're going to do things well together. You're going to be known, I'm going to be known, it's going to be awesome. Well, it wasn't exactly awesome, and life happened, and they ended up enslaved. The Israelite people, which were Abraham's ancestors, ended up enslaved in Egypt for 400 plus years. And then God led them out, led them through the Red Sea, headed them towards Mount Sinai, and we get this covenant renewed. Exodus chapter 19, before God gives the Big Ten, he says this to Moses. Then Moses climbed the mountains to appear before the Lord. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me, keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the people on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give the people of Israel." Okay, so it started with, hey, Abraham, you need to leave your land. Go to the place I'm going to tell you. I won't tell you right now, but I'm going to tell you eventually. You're going to go there. And it turned into, you know what, guys, we haven't really had a good walk together. So I brought you out again. We're going to give you like a mulligan, let you start again. And over and over and over, God kept telling him, I love you. I want you to be my people, but you've got to live within the covenant. You've got to live within the covenant. Verse 5, Exodus 19, "Now if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special people from among all the peoples of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me." In the last 10 weeks of looking at these minor prophets, that has been the message, hasn't it? All along, God's been saying, you guys are not keeping my covenant, you need to return to me. You're not following the ways I set out for you. Come back to me. You've broken the covenant I wanted you to live by. Because of that, disaster is coming. That's been the message of these minor prophets. You look in Hosea, God accused Israel of spiritual adultery and breaking the covenant through the lack of faithfulness and love, exemplified by rampant sins like murder and stealing and adultery. You look at Amos, the prophet preached against social injustices, like the oppression of the poor and exploitation of the weak, seeing these as actions that broke the covenant. In Joel, the prophet explained that the devastating locust plague was the result of the people's departure from God and their broken covenant. Next week, when we hit Malachi, here's a little teaser, it's going to be about the people not following the covenant. Okay? Their continued failure to honor the covenant. And all these prophets, that's what the message has been. You're not following the ways I set out for you. If you do, I mean, just return to me and live by that. Right? We see that not so subtly hinted at in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. All this may seem impossible. Right? Because the people had come back and they were not looking around. Things are not great. And God had promised them this mighty and awesome and all this stuff. He says, all this might seem impossible to you now, a small remnant of God's people, but is it impossible for me? Says the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. You can be sure that I will rescue my people from the east and from the west. I will bring them home again and live safely in Jerusalem. They will be my people. This is covenant language. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and just toward them as their God. This is covenant language. Return to me, and I will be your God. You will be my people. Now, in case the promised covenantal, intimate, loving relationship with God the Father was not enough for them, God basically said, look, come do that, and I'm going to do what I promised earlier, and I'm going to send you a king. Don't jump to the New Testament yet. Keep yourself in the place where the Israelites are. 20 years back, it's not glorious. It's not beautiful. It's not wonderful. And God's saying, you return to me, and I'm going to send you a king. That's why all these passages in Zechariah are so hopeful, because you got to beat up people, a beat down people in Jerusalem. And then God says things like this in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, listen to me, O Yeshua, the high priest, and all you other priests, you are symbols of things to come. Soon I'm going to bring my servant the branch. Now look at the jewel I have set before Yeshua, a single stone in seven facets. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. I'm going to send somebody to do that. And they may be thinking, how long is it going to take this time, Lord? But we are real excited for that. Chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says, tell him, again, God talking to Yeshua in a dream, tell him, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, here's the man called the branch. He will branch out from where he is and build the temple. Again, they're looking around like, it's got to get bigger than that. Yes, he will build the temple of the Lord. Then he will receive royal honor and will rule as king from his throne. He will also serve as priest from his throne, and there will be perfect harmony between the two roles. Can you sense the excitement the Israelite people may have had in that time? Right? They're a little disappointed. They're a little discouraged. And God said, I'm going to send somebody. He's going to wipe away all the sins in one day. He's going to be king, and he's going to rule. It says in chapter 9, verse 9, still thinking of what they were thinking in that moment, rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he's humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. God says, I will remove the battle chariots from Israel, the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Wouldn't that have sounded hopeful and promising to those people in Israel? I'm going to rebuild your temple. I'm going to bring peace to the land. I'm going to bring you a king. All you have to do is return to me. Live in covenantal relationship with me, and I'm going to send you that king. I looked over and over and over at Zechariah trying to find a different major message, but that's the major message to the people of Israel. Return to me. Live in covenantal relationship, and I will send you the Messiah King. That's what God said to the people in Zechariah. Now, if that's the major message for the Israelites, what's the major message for us? Because we're not living in that time right now. Right, we're not the Israelites, we're not living in Jerusalem, we're a whole lot many more years later, and yet we're trying to figure out, what does Zechariah say to us? What's the major message to us in this minor prophet? Same thing. Thank you. I could actually just go with that. Same thing, except in reverse. Except in reverse order. Okay? Except in reverse order. I think the major message with us starts with not just, I will one day send you a king, it's, I have already sent you a king. I have already sent you a king. Now, as I was prepping this morning, I realized I did all this backwards. I probably should have showed you Zechariah first and then the New Testament stuff first, but we're going to go backwards anyways because everything's supposed to be in reverse order. So, in John chapter 12, verse 12 to 16, you can just listen along. We see the triumphal entry. Right, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city, and a large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him, and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, hail to the King of Kings. And Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. Where did we just see that? In Zechariah. If I ever ask again, where did I just see that? Your answer is going to be in Zechariah. I don't know if I'll ask that again, but if I do, that's your answer, okay? In Zechariah, it says, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this meant the fulfillment of prophecy. We do. So I think God is saying to us, not I will send you a king, but I've already sent you a king. And just watch at how often in the New Testament there's passages that point right back to Zechariah and to this promised king, showing us that God has already sent the king. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul tells the church in Corinth, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have, Christ Jesus. And he writes the church in Ephesus, he says, so now you Gentiles, no longer strangers and foreigners, you're citizens along with all of God's holy people, you're members of God's family, together we are his house built on this foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. the cornerstone. If you read Zechariah this past week, you saw in chapter 10, verse 4, it says, from Judah will come a cornerstone, a tent peg, the bow for battle, and all the rulers. Okay, I told you the answer is not going to be Zechariah. Where was Jesus? What tribe was he from?
Judah.
Judah, right? What did that? I mean, it's right there in the text. From Judah will come the cornerstone. You jump back to the New Testament. One of Jesus' disciples said this in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us just a couple of our sins. Just the sins that we spend time on our knees begging for. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Check out what Zechariah said in chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David. Which family line did Jesus come from?
David,
okay, so on that day, the foundation will be opened for the dynasty of David, for all the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and impurity. Are we seeing this, church? I think the beginning part of the major message to us is, look, I've already sent that king. You know about him. I'm going to show them to you in Zechariah, and I'm going to show them to you in the New Testament. And what did Jesus himself say? Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. This was right before he was arrested. He said, on the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. What scriptures was he pointing to? Something in?
Zechariah.
Good. Zechariah 13, verse 7, it says this. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my partner, says the Lord of heaven's armies, strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn against the lambs. It's like God is like, he laid it out in Zechariah, telling them, I will send you a king, and now he's showing us, I've sent that king. He's the Messiah. A couple other things that show us that. I was floored at how often Jesus was prophetically prophesied in Zechariah. I shouldn't have told you that all your answers would be Zechariah, because I'm asking different questions. How many silver coins did Judas betray Jesus for? 30. Okay? 30. And after Judas realized what he had done, what did he do with those 30? He took them back to the priest. He threw them in the temple. Right? Judas said, I've betrayed an innocent man. Why do we care? They reported. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. The leading priests picked up the coins and said, it wouldn't be right for us to put this in the temple treasury since it's payment for murder. And after some discussion, they finally decided to buy the potter's field and to make it a cemetery for foreigners. That's why the field is still called the Field of Blood. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah. Ooh, that's tricky. This says, they took 30 pieces of silver, the price at which he was valued by the people of Israel, and purchased the potter's field as the Lord had directed. Now, I realize it says Jeremiah, but you look back at Zechariah, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, says this. And I said to them, if you like, give me my wages, whatever I am worth, but only if you want to. So they counted out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. This magnificent sum at which they valued me. So I took the 30 coins and I threw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord. Zechariah is pointing us forward, and God is pointing us back, saying, look, I already sent it. Already sent it. Now, remember I'm saying that the major message for Israel was return to me, live in covenant relationship with me, and I will send you a Messiah. And I'm saying it's the same message. Actually, Mike's saying it's the same message, and I'm reiterating that. It's the same message to us today in reverse order, right? So I've already sent you a king. Now live in covenant relationship. How? Jesus. Return to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Through following Jesus, not just raising our hands, claiming a verbal belief in Jesus, but actually having our lives reoriented around Christ. Kind of like what God the Father was saying to the Israelites, return to me. I didn't like how your ancestors were acting. You need to act how I want you to act. There is still that side of the gospel message. Jesus' first proclamation in Matthew. Hang on, there we go. We'll get there somewhere. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, repent. Turn to me. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. All right, so I've already sent you a king. Live in this new covenant with me by following Jesus. Being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing the thing Jesus did. Remember that series right around Easter of last year? The way to return to God is through following the way of Jesus. Now, what could that look like? It could look a lot like what Zechariah said in chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to get there. This is the message that came from the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Judge fairly. Show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, and the poor. And do not scheme against each other. Does that sound anything at all like something Jesus may have said? The answer is going to be yes. I'm going to read it again. I'll ask that same question. I need a resounding yes, okay? This is the message that came from Zechariah the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Judge fairly and show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress the widows or the orphans or the foreigners or the poor, and do not scheme against each other. Does that sound like something Jesus taught? Yes. Does that sound like how Jesus lived? Yes, it does. Don't believe me just because I stand up here and say it. Read Matthew, read Mark, read Luke, read John. And ask yourself, what does Jesus' life look like? Does my life look like that? Because if the major message for Israel was return to me, live in covenant relationship with me, and I'll send you a king, and the major message for us is I've already sent you a king, return to me by following the way of Jesus, then that's as simple as it gets. Right? And I talk about a new covenant. We don't have to follow all the rules of the old covenant, but Jesus says there's a new covenant, a new commandment, that you love one another. John 13, 1 Corinthians 11. If this sounds like it's something you hear just about every Sunday in church, then good. Because we tend to overcomplicate things. You know, you look at a book like Zechariah and you try and exegete 8 different dreams and visions and talk about how it affects us. God says, hey, I've already sent you a king. Live in this new covenant relationship with me by walking in the way of Jesus. I think that's the major message for us today as well. Now, perhaps we've gotten away from the simplicity of that message. Perhaps we've become a bit confused as to what parts do we follow, what parts do we don't. Oh man, I was listening to a book last night as I drove home from Tacoma. I probably even shouldn't say this, but it says we're not a people follow the book, we're a people that follow Jesus. And everything in here points to Jesus. So yes, we spend a ton of time looking at this, but ultimately we follow Jesus. Why? Because he's the Messiah King that was already sent. And we have a new covenant with God that we can live through Jesus into that new covenant. Following the way of Jesus won't only transform your life, it has the potential to transform your world. Would you like to see our world transformed? Yes. I would. So let's return to the basics. Let's follow the way of Jesus. Let's live in this new covenant with him, and let's be reminded that he's already sent the Messiah King. Amen. If you've never made a first commitment towards Jesus, if you've never turned and said, Jesus, I'm done with my old life. I want you to be the guide of my new life. Today's the day you can do that. Doesn't have to be in big fancy language. You don't have to use these and thous. You can just talk to God the same way you talk to a friend. You can just tell him, I'm ready to turn to you. I want to return to you, even if I've never followed you, or maybe you have followed him and you need to return anyways. Simple prayer, right? Just tell God what's on your heart. If you want somebody to pray with you, we will have a prayer team over here after the service, or pray with the person who brought you, okay? Let me pray as we celebrate what God has done. Jesus, I am so humbled to be able to be reminded of the fact that, man, the Old Testament can speak to the Old Testament Israelites just as much as it can speak to the 2025 First Church people. And it's so good for us to see how you give a similar major message to them as you are giving to us today. It's good to see you are the same God that doesn't change. You're the beginning, the middle, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. And ultimately, you want us to be in relationship with you so much you're willing to do anything to make that happen. I thank you that you wrapped yourself in flesh, that you didn't just give us a book, but that you gave us yourself. And that self said, follow me. Help us do that, Jesus. Help us follow you wholeheartedly in every aspect of our life, knowing that you've already sent a king that we follow. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,